Corinthians chapter number 6 is where we're going to be this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. I've been studying through the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, and there was something I was sharing with Brother Shane the other night and some of the guys here at RU when we got back on Friday night that I was studying out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, but God didn't give me liberty to preach that this morning. I'm still working on that, but what a blessing it is. You know, I was at teen camp this year, and junior and teen camp, had to go in Brother Josh's place. And to be honest with you, at first I was a little discouraged, Brother Shane, because I thought this is going to be the first time in a long time that I just get to observe or just get to, you know, not be there at camp and all this. And shame on me, because God did some wonderful things. And it was a blessing to get to see that. I was talking to my wife, and 14 out of the last 17 years I've been going to camp with the teenagers and different things. And I thought, man, I get to have a break this year. And praise the Lord, I didn't, because I got to see God do some wonderful things in our young people's lives and the lives of a lot of other young people. But, you know, my heart was broken when I watched the hardness of some young people, some teenagers that are already so calloused to the things of God. And one young man sat there with his arms folded like this the whole week. And heard preaching and all that stuff, just calloused and cold. And you know, that's how our world is. And you know, my heart was broken because I believe there's something, some areas that we as believers fail. We fail our Savior in a lot of ways. And we're going to talk about some of that here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, I would invite you to stand with me if you're able as we reverence God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We're going to start in verse 11. It says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, and our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord has Christ with Belial, and or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now you understand when the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians was written to the church of Corinth, and there are some areas that they were admonishing them here to live different, to be separated. Verse 17 said, Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. When I read that verse this week, Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, God was not telling us to totally cut the world off, never talk to them, never say anything to them. But what He's telling us, rather, is to live a different lifestyle around them. To be different than they are. To be separated. And I'm going to talk to you about separation this morning, but I want to ask you a question. Do you love God enough to separate the way God says to separate? Do you love God enough to separate the way God says to separate? We're going to talk about some things that God says in the Bible about biblical separation. Not just, oh, I go to church and they don't. It's different than that. It's deeper than that. And we're going to talk about biblical separation this morning, but do you love God enough to separate God's way, the Bible way? Remember when He asked Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. You know what He was telling him? Don't tell me all the time. Prove it. Live in such a way that there's no question if I love you. LJ, praise the Lord. Good to see you. Satan was fighting LJ a little while ago. He got a call from work, and they needed him to come in. Right now, he's like, Preacher, I'm not even going to be able to be at church. And praise the Lord that it worked out. He's here. Praise God for that. Amen. Punch Satan right in the eye. Hallelujah. Amen. Biblical separation. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for the day that you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to get in your word. God, I pray that as we open your word, Lord, we'll not resist what the Holy Spirit does in our hearts. But Lord, we'll rather saturate ourselves with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and let it change us. Lord, help us not to resist your word, but rather to eat your word, as you would say, for us to do so, and to drink the milk of the word and eat the bread of your word and the meat of your word, and Lord, to grow in you each and every day. I believe, Lord, that we have failed miserably in the day and age in which we live in. Lord, I know Brother Shane talked about on Wednesday night how our forefathers, how they were founded upon godly principles. And all throughout our history, there's just signs that show your goodness and your greatness towards America. But Lord, we have dropped the ball. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me for that. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us as we go through this. Lord, would you create in me a clear mind? Lord, allow me to be your mouthpiece this morning. Help me not to get in your way, but Lord, that everything that you would desire to be said will be said. Lord, if there's anyone here that's lost, I pray they'll trust you today. And Lord, I pray that you'll encourage us as children of God to live separated lives for you. And Lord, we love you and thank you for all you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I know we have talked about separation several times and how it's not just separate from the world, but separated to Christ. And you can't just be separate from the world. You have to be separated to Christ. But you know what? There's a lot of teaching out there that, Brother Doug, that a lot of people, no matter what denomination they are, no matter what they believe in, that we're just all supposed to come together and all of us are just supposed to love one another and act like there's no difference or division amongst us. See, God didn't do things that way. You understand that. Ever since the beginning of creation, when God created everything, God began to divide things and separate things. There's a difference. If you read through Genesis 1:1, God does some wonderful, miraculous things. And it's a blessing to have the Word of God that points to God no matter where you read about it. Even in His very creation, we see the principle of salvation in creation and the principle of separation. Now, I want you to look there. Turn to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1 quickly. I'm going to most of the message this morning is going to be setting a foundation, showing you some things of what the Bible says about separation. Then we're going to talk about some things, Brother Travis, about separation and some areas where we are separated that we shouldn't be in certain things. And we'll talk about that. But Genesis chapter number 1, let's start looking at verse number 1. In the beginning, God created. I love those first few words of the Bible. It just takes evolution and stomps it right into the ground because we know that God created everything that we have. God created the heaven and the earth. And look what it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. See, that's a very interesting statement. Do we believe? We believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, correct? Well, two people, praise the Lord. We believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God, correct? Amen. Amen. That means everything in it, God said to put there. Amen? Okay, so God, being God, could have said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light. But you know, Brother Billy, he said a phrase before he said, let there be light. He said, the Spirit of God moved. So before light could ever come to the darkness of this earth, who had to be present? The Spirit of God had to be present. Isn't that like us? The Bible says when we're born in sin and there's darkness that fills our heart. But the only way that light can ever come into our life is if who's present? The Spirit of God. So see how God in the very beginning of the Bible shows us a picture of how light comes from the Holy Spirit of God and how without Him, it's just total darkness. He shows us salvation in the very first two verses of Scripture. But then God doesn't just stop there, Brother Shane, and say, man, it's all the same now. Look what He says in verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So wait a second. The earth was with darkness, and now there's light also in the earth. And look what it says. And God saw the light, that it was good. And look what this says. And God divided light from darkness. Remember we read in 2 Corinthians, it said, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? See, God is in the dividing business. He separates things. He shows us the difference in things throughout the Bible. Yes, God brings us as believers together as a church that believe the Word of God. He unifies us through the Word of God. However, there is a principle of separation in the Bible that we need to grasp the concept of. As born-again believers, we need to understand that all the way back in the beginning of the Bible of creation, that God divided things in their proper place. He said He put the firmament above the heavens. He created all that, separated things. He divided things, light from darkness, and all of these things that we see that God did. Look also down verse 5, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. Guess what? He gave them different names. He divided them to set them apart, to make them different. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it do what? Divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. How many times in these first 8 verses did we read the word divided or separated or difference between darkness and light? God divided the light from darkness. He separated those. He divided the waters from the waters. He was in dividing. Why? To set them apart, to show the difference between them. Because there ought to be a difference, you understand that, between us and the world. There ought to be a difference as born-again children of God. Then there ought to be a difference in our lifestyle than there is in the world. If you call us Christians, there ought to be a difference in the word Christians and the world. There ought to be a difference. We're different. We cannot cohabitate with the world and expect things to change. You understand that cohabitation is not possible unless one element is changed to agree with the other. If you think about that, what does that mean? There's no way that we can go to God without coming in agreement with Him. Right? We can't do it. There's no way that we can walk with God, Brother Doug, unless we're agreed with Him. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? It's impossible for us to walk the same direction, even as a church, if we are separated in different areas of our life. We can't walk together in the church unless we agree on one thing. He's in control. Brother Shane read the verse this morning in Colossians, that in all things, He, that's talking about God, might have preeminence. And until we learn that, we'll never be able to grasp this concept of biblical separation. But it is not possible to cohabitate with someone unless one element is changed to agree with the other. Unless we have the same direction and the same thought process and the same mind. It's hard to walk together if you don't agree. It's hard to walk together. See, the Republicans and Democrats can't walk together, can they? Because they don't agree. Even Republicans and Republicans can't walk together because they don't agree. And Democrats can't walk together. Why? Because they don't agree. If you can't walk together with somebody unless you agree with them. It's difficult to do so. Why? Because you're not in agreement with things. Oftentimes we think that as believers in Christ, we have liberty in our life to live however we want to live. And guess what? God does give you the freedom to choose. God does not force you to serve Him. But God wants you to serve Him. And oftentimes we think that we can go live a life of sin. We can go live our life any way we want to and then come to church on Sunday morning and everything's okay. That's not how God works. Look what the Bible says. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would please, to Haggai chapter number 2. Haggai chapter number 2. You say, man, Haggai is not one we go to very often, but we ought to. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? Not just the New Testament. It didn't say the New Testament is given by inspiration of God. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Let me read these verses for you and then I'll explain them. Haggai chapter number 2. Let's look down at verse number 11, 12, and 13. We're going to read those three verses. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh, understand what he's saying here, listen to the principle that he's trying to teach. If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, And with the skirt do he touch bread and pottage or wine or oil and meat or any meat? Shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by the dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. I want you to understand the principle here. I think oftentimes, Brother Shane, we say that we can go where the world is and act like they act and do what they do for the purpose of bringing them out of where they're at. And we try to go to their atmosphere. And we try to do things around them. We try to do what they do, Brother Doug, just to try to win them to Christ. You understand, people will say, well, Jesus went to the publicans and sinners. But if you read through Scripture, Jesus never went on their terms. Jesus went to them as a soul winner. Jesus went to them with the gospel. Jesus went to them not doing the things they were doing, not fellowshipping in the things they were fellowshipping in, but rather giving them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to draw them out. See, Haggai, I was saying in this passage here that just because you're holy and just because you're living clean, if you touch dirty things, guess what? It's not going to make you, not going to make those dirty things clean. But if you take something that is clean and holy and righteous and pure, and it touches something that is dirty, it said that clean thing becomes dirty. You mothers understand this. You wash clothes. Some of you fathers may even help with that. Your kids just went to camp in a muddy situation. Okay? And they had clean clothes on when they started. But guess what happened? They got in the dirt. And guess what didn't happen? The dirt didn't become clean. The clothes became dirty. You know why? Because they were messing with the dirt and rolling around in the dirt. And when they got up, guess what there was evidence of on them? Dirt. There was evidence of dirt. So why do we think, as believers in Christ, that we can go out into the dirt of this world and roll around in it all day long and then come back to church and say, hey, God's good and look, God's given me the victory and there's signs of dirt in your life? That's not separation from the world. That's not living a separated life unto Christ. When the holy and the unclean meet, it never elevates the unclean to holiness except in one occasion. When the unclean meet the Holy One of God. That's the only time that the unclean then becomes clean and holy. I'm glad that there was a day I met Jesus and that He took my wicked, vile, dirty life and made it new and clean again through Him. That's the only time. But any time that we go out and play in the world, guess what? We don't usually make the world clean. It makes us dirty. The Word of God divides things. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. I'm setting this foundation because I'm going to give you some testimony about what I saw at camp here this week, and we're going to try to tie all this in together here at the end, but I'm kind of just setting some groundwork for what the Bible says about separation. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. We say this verse. This is one verse that we quote all the time about the Word of God. But Brother Shane, let's look what the Word of God does. It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the what? Dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what the Bible does, Brother Travis? It divides the good and the bad in your life. You begin to read it, that sword pierces to the dividing asunder. It separates things. It points out areas in your life that you need help in and shows you areas that you need to strengthen. And the Bible divides inside of us and shows us some things. All throughout the Bible, God shows us some separation in things. Look at Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. And look down to verse number 30 in Matthew chapter 12. Look what the Bible says here. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. See the division in that? See the separation? God didn't say he that is not with me completely or partially. If you're either for me or against me, there is no in between. You can't be for God part of the time and against him half the time. He said you're either for me or against me. If you're not with me, you're against me. So why is separation so important? Because if we're not separated from the world and separated unto Christ, the Bible says that we are against him. Because if we're living life the way the world would live life, that's contrary to the way God wants it to be done. And so there's a separation. There's a separation. The Bible says we're to be like Christ, does it not? We're supposed to liken ourselves to him. He is our example. Came to this earth as our example. Take your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7. Let's see what the Bible says about how Jesus is and what he does. We know that Jesus, that God loves all of us, does he not? Yes, he does. God loves sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We know that God does, but look what God says here in Hebrews chapter number 7. Look at verse number 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled. Look what it says. Separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. Guess what? If he's separate from sinners, then we ought to be separate from sinners. Does that mean that we ought never go reach them with the gospel of Christ? No, that's not what that means. What that means is we ought to live differently, come out from among them and be different than the world. You say, but preacher, we're still sinners. Yes, we are, but we have a difference inside of us. We have a spirit nature that lives inside of us now when we're born in the Holy Spirit by a new birth in Christ Jesus. We have the ability to walk in victory for the Lord Jesus. But oftentimes we defeat ourselves and say, well, I'm just flesh. You don't have to walk in the flesh anymore. You can walk in the Spirit. You wonder why people can walk in the flesh all the time that are out in the world. Guess why? Because they're flesh. They don't have a spirit nature. But when you got saved, you inherited a spirit nature and you're supposed to live like the Spirit. You're supposed to have the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of those things are contrary to what the world has. We're supposed to be separate from sinners, the Bible says. We're supposed to be different. When Jesus began to preach, guess what happened? People were divided. Different people began to criticize him. Some people that even when Paul preached, I've been preaching through the book of Acts, and how many times we heard that, Brother Shane, Paul preach in the synagogue, and some were for him, but some railed against him and tried to chase him out of there. You know why? Anytime you preach truth, it divides. It divides. Anytime you preach truth, it stirs the waters and people get upset by it. You know why? Because if you're living in sin, of course truth is going to divide. It has to divide. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Any time that Christ's power is exemplified, it brings forth division in people's lives. I want you to look at John chapter 8, if you would please. John chapter number 8. Verse 29, we don't believe, do we, that Jesus ever sinned, do we? No, because the Bible said he was without sin. So let me ask you this. If he's preaching truth and it's dividing and stirring the waters, does that mean that he was sinner, that he was doing wrong? No, let's look at what the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 29. He that has sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So if Jesus was separate from sinners and he was doing all these, guess what? That pleased God and that was right for him to do. He preached truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Guess what? That is contrary to the world's teaching. That's contrary to false teachers that say, oh, there's many ways to heaven. That's contrary to Muhammad and the teachings of Allah and the Muslim faith. That's contrary to that. It's contrary to Buddha. It's contrary to all these pagan doctrines. And it stirs the waters and it divides people. There's a lot of people that say, oh, well, we just ought to treat everybody the same. And listen, we ought to love everyone. But we have to be divided. If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. We have to take a stand. We have to separate ourselves unto Christ. But when His power was exemplified, it brought division. Look at John chapter 9. Flip over there quickly. John chapter number 9. Verse 13 down through 16. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Listen, any time that God's power is exemplified, people are going to be divided by it. Well, I'm just not sure of what's going on. They were so focused on the law and the Sabbath day that he was trying to come to tell them that, listen, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the God. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that you need to be trusting in. They were more concerned with a ritual than they were with the power of God in somebody's life. I think oftentimes we come to church with this mentality, well, it has to be done this certain way. You know how church has to be run? Under the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. We can't put timetables on services. We can't put timetables. Brother Shane was telling me just the other day about what he preached about on Wednesday night. And they would come, and in our Capitol building, our state Capitol, they had services for 4 hours. If we asked our people to have service for 4 hours now, guess what they'd be like? 4 hours of church? You know why? We're not separated to God. We're not separated from the world and separated to Christ. Listen, I saw some invitations that lasted till 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning this week of young people weeping, begging God for their moms and dads, begging God for their life, begging God to do some work in their life. Why isn't that a normal? Because we're not separated to God. Because we always think, well, this is how it has to be done. Well, you know what? The bulletin says that we're supposed to do it this way. Well, you know what? We're supposed to, Brother Doug, you can't lead somebody to Christ without giving them Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23 and then Romans 5:8. You can't use the book of John. You have to use the Romans Road. We get so ritualistic in the things that we do and the way that we act that we are not separated to God. We have a religion, not a relationship. And the fact of the matter is, what we are doing is we are destroying our nation like that. You know why? Because it's not real in our lives, because we're not separated the way God wants us to be separated. You say, well, why does the power of God, when it's exemplified, cause division? Because the powerless are always offended by any display of God's power. People who are not living in the power of God are always offended by the power of God when it's done. You say, that's not true. Look around. Anytime the power of God is upon something, what happens? Attack. Criticism. Why? Because it divides. It divides. It separates. Proverbs divides into sinners into three categories. Man, what is it? The fool, the simple, and the wise. Divides into three different things. Paul spoke to the church at Corinth. He spoke to the natural man, the spiritual man, the carnal man. There was some division there. They were in different categories, separated into different things. Listen, you can't teach Bible truth without dividing the crowd. Hebrews 4:12, it's quick and powerful, sharper than it pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's going to divide the crowd when you preach truth. Guess what? We're not going to be the most popular by preaching truth. It's going to divide the crowd. People are going to look at us, oh, you're too old-fashioned. Oh, you guys over there, you're just those religious fundamentalist fanatics. And we ought to say, praise the Lord that we're fundamental, that we're independent, that we believe the Bible. We're Bible-believing Baptists. That's what we ought to say. But understand this, we need to be separated to Christ. When division is about Bible doctrine, listen, I'm not saying that we ought to be divided by everybody who say, but understand them, there's doctrines that we need to stand on. We're not the same as every other religion out there. You understand that. We're children of God. We have the Word of God. And this ought to be our foundation of what helps us to separate. There's something called ecclesiastical separation in the Bible. You say, what is that? It's separating from false teachers and false preachers and false churches that preach not the truth. I've been invited since I've been here, Brother Shane, to about 20 different events of every denomination you can think of that's going to be there. People say, why won't you go? Because of differences in belief. Why can't you walk with them? Because how can two walk together except they be agreed? You say, well, preacher, you're just old-fashioned. Praise the Lord. Thank you. What a compliment. We ought to be old-fashioned. But when division is about Bible doctrine, when division is about Jesus, when division is about right or wrong, then guess what? It's a good thing. When you're divided over Bible doctrine, it's a good thing to be divided about and separated about. And by the way, there is no little doctrine in the Bible. It bothers me, Brother Doug, when people come and say, well, that's not a big doctrine. That's not one of the 10 major doctrines of Scripture. Let's go back to the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Guess what that means? Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 is doctrine. It's doctrine. You say, well, that's not about salvation and eternal security, and that has to do with the music that you listen to. You know, that's not really a major doctrine. It is a major doctrine. You know why? Because he talks about it. He said, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Oh, modesty is not a major doctrine. Yes, it is. He said we're supposed to separate ourselves, be different. Oh, well, that's not a big doctrine. Everything in the Bible is a big doctrine. Because it's all doctrine. It's all God's Word. Let's quit saying that, well, that's not a big doctrine. That's not something to separate ourselves over. I talk to some missionaries and they say, well, you know what? I'm not going to die for the King James Bible. I'm not going to die on that hill. Why not? It's doctrine. This is the Word of God. Well, I'm just not going to die on that separation hill. They said this fight over the King James Bible is dividing our churches. Praise the Lord. You say, why? Because I want to have truth where I go. I don't want to have a false teaching. I don't want to have a false preaching. I don't want to look at something that's not God's Word. I want to look at the true, inerrant, infallible, inspired, God-breathed Word when I come to church. I don't want to come to a place that's preaching man's opinions. I don't want to preach the devil's tool that's corrupting the Word of God. I want to hear the unmessed with Word of God. That's worth separating over. It's worth dividing over. Whenever you attack the deity of Christ, that's worth dividing over. Whenever you attack how the home ought to be, that's worth dividing over. Whenever you talk about creation and evolution, guess what? It's worth dividing over. Why? Because it's all Scripture. And it's God's Word. Holy living is a doctrine of God. Be ye holy as I am holy. Is that not what God says? We're supposed to be holy. That means if you're not holy and you are holy, there's a division, there's a separation, and there ought to be. It's worth dividing over. Let me give you some words here quickly. Separation means to withdraw, to have no company with, or to disconnect from. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. I'm trying to help you here this morning. God had to help me with some of this stuff too. But I'm trying to give you some help this morning about what biblical separation is. Do you love God enough to do this? In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Look what the Bible says. Remember, separate means to withdraw, to have no company with, or to disconnect from. That's what the word separate means. Look what the Bible says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which he received from us. Did you see what it says? withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly. Does that mean that we're not supposed to be kind to people when they want to come back to church? No, that's not what it means. But you know what it doesn't mean? It doesn't mean we go act like they act, do what they do to try to bring them back to God. We're supposed to be separate, different than they are. Withdraw yourself from those that are doing disorderly things. The Bible says that. It's God's words. It's not Pastor Caldwell's words. If you don't like it, take it up with him. That's what God said. Remember, separation, have no company, to withdraw, to have no company with, to disconnect from. We have to understand that God wants us to come out from among them. Don't walk with them. If they're not living for God, don't walk with them. Listen, there's people in our church that we know that have gone wayward. Are we supposed to love them? Yes, we are. Are we supposed to pray for them? Yes, we are. But guess what we're not supposed to do? Entangle ourselves in the same sin that they're entangled in. We're not supposed to go to them and say, guess what? You're bitter, brother, but guess what? I'm going to sit here and just let you pour out all your bitterness on me. No, we're supposed to withdraw ourselves from it. Hey, you know somebody's living wickedly against God. You're not supposed to go and do the same thing they do and say, you know what, buddy? See, I'm still your friend. Why don't you come to church with me? No, you're supposed to live holy and separated lives. Why? Because they'll see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That ought to be our goal. Quickly, separation. There's some separation that we need to understand. First off, if you're here today and you're not saved, there's separation from God because of sin. We're separated from God when we're born because of sin. The Bible says, by one man's sin, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all fall short of what's expected to get to heaven when we're born. Look at Isaiah chapter 59 quickly, if you would please. Isaiah chapter 59. Thank you for your patience this morning, but we're going to get into these points here real quickly. Separation is something that we ought to focus on. Isaiah 59 and verse number 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Did you understand that sin separates you from God? It separates you from God. Guess what? Even when you're saved, sin separates you from God. From that fellowship that you can have with the Father. It says, is his hand shortened that he cannot save? Is his ear kind of closed up that he cannot hear? No. But what happens? Our sin has separated us from him. But we're separated because of sin for salvation. We can't get to heaven on our own. There's nothing that we can do. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is no other way to heaven but Jesus and him alone. It doesn't matter what any of these big time preachers say. It doesn't matter if they are not according to the word of God. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus. But sin separates us from him. So how do we get back to him? We realize our condition. We realize what Jesus Christ did for us in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has the power to save. And we trust in the finished work of Jesus, and we put our faith and trust in him, asking him to be our Savior. And he said, you shall be saved. But understand, sin separates us from God. When we're saved, even our sin separates us from fellowship with God. You wonder why you can't hear God. You wonder why God's not doing this for you. Or you wonder why it just seems like every time you try to do something in your own strength, in your own power, you fall. You know why? Because we're not supposed to do things in our own strength, in our own power. We're supposed to do them in the power of the Lord. Let's get back to the Bible and just obeying every word of it. Not picking and choosing what doctrine we think is important and what doctrine we don't think is important. It's all important, and we ought to separate ourselves wholly to all of it, not just part of it. We pick and choose the scriptures, Brother Doug, that fit our life. Well, hey, I'm already doing this, so I like this verse. But we throw out those ones that bring conviction, that bring change. We're supposed to separate ourselves. But guess what? There is a kind of separation that we ought not to have. I talked about this a couple Sunday nights ago a little bit, but God impressed upon me to talk about it this morning. Look at Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter number 16. You understand, sin separates us from God, and we ought to come back to Him. If you're not saved, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. For that's the only way that you'll get back to Him. If you are saved, you need to get rid of the sin in your life and create a clean heart inside of you. Let the Holy Spirit wash you from the inside so that you can regain fellowship with the Father. But look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. There's some separation in our church, Brother Doug, that ought not be here. And it's separation of chief friends because of gossip and talebearing. How many times have we heard of somebody being mad at somebody else because of how they treated so-and-so? But the only person that told them about it, Brother Shane, was so-and-so. And now they have bitter spirits towards somebody else in the church, and they separate themselves from them because of gossip. Proverbs 19 and verse number 9 says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Do you see what that said, verse 9? A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Listen, gossip is destroying our churches. You say, preacher, this is the Sunday morning crowd. That's right. But a lot of times we don't come Sunday night or Wednesday night. We need to get it when we're supposed to get it, and God tells us to. Understand, gossip is destroying our churches. It's separating us, not unifying us. Separation's a good thing from the world. Separation from the wicked things. Separation from unrighteousness. But a lot of times we get caught up in the talebearing, gossiping about other people. Brother Doug, did you hear this about so-and-so? I'm just telling you because I want you to pray for them. No, you're telling them because you're a gossip. And you're trying to destroy your brother and sister in Christ. You say, preacher, that's kind of harsh. It happens all the time. In churches just like this, happens all the time. We destroy people's testimonies because of this. We can't hold our tongue. And the Bible says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Our tongue gets us in trouble a lot of times. Listen, we're supposed to be separate from the world. We're supposed to be different, a peculiar people, separated unto God. But we come in church and our brother and sister in Christ does something maybe that we don't agree with, and we begin to run that person down and talk bad about that person, and it divides the church. It separates us. And we get allowing this separation amongst our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ because of gossip. This is the kind of separation that shouldn't happen. This shouldn't happen in our churches. There's a lot of separation that should happen. We ought to be separate from the world. I'm going to stop here for sake of time, but I want to kind of give you an illustration. When we got there to the camp this week, there was a lot of different young people. And from all my years of helping in the teen department and stuff, I watch young people. I watch how they act. I watch how they talk to adults. I watch how they present themselves. And you know, you can have kids that come from two different states that have never met each other before. And if they have the same personalities, the same kind of attitudes, the same kind of thing, they just draw together and flock together. It just seems to happen that way. Brother Doug, you know what I saw a lot of at the beginning of this week? I saw a lot of rebellious, mouthy, unrespectful, anti-God young people coming from independent Baptist churches. And my heart was broken. You know why? Because we're dropping the ball. We're not showing them what holy living is all about. We're not showing them what it means to be separate from the world. Some of these kids got off the bus. They look just like the world did. Guess what? I'm not talking about bus kids that don't know any better. I'm talking about kids that have grown up in church their whole life and they act the same way the worldly kids act. kids coming down here and saying, hey, I'm trying to get rid of my music, but mom and dad won't let me. I'm trying to get rid of this ungodly kind of lifestyle, but every time I try to give it up, mom and dad discourage me. My heart breaks for that. You know why? Because we as adults are just sending our kids further and further and further into the world. Because rather than us walking away from the world and separating to God, we're trying to get a little bit step closer and step a little bit closer and a little bit closer to the world. Why? Because, oh, I'm trying to witness to them. No, that's not what's going to bring them to God. What's going to bring them to God is us to be holy and righteous and separated and say, hey, if you want to experience the power of God, you need to get over here. But what I found was a lot of young people that were weeping and crying, and when they got there, guess what? Man, they were rebellious. You'd talk to them, they'd be like, yeah. You'd ask them questions, yep. Hey, you want to go over here? Nope. You want to participate? No. That's how they act. I'm not talking about kids that don't know any better. I'm talking about kids that have been trained up in our churches. Guess what? They haven't been trained up. They've been indoctrinated by the world. Because when they come to church, they don't see something different. When they see the people of church, they don't see something different. And they ought to see something different. Our young people made some decisions for Christ. If your testimony in their life determines what's going to happen to them 10 years from now, how are they going to live? What are they going to do? If they watch, you heard, she gave testimony, they watch you. They watch you. Whether you know it or not, these young people are watching us as adults. They're watching us. Listen, I know this is sobering, but it's something we need to hear. They watch us. And I wonder why they end up going down this path and choose the way of the world. Because they see us do it. On Monday and Tuesday and most of the day Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Then we come to church with our Bible under our arms and we say, praise the Lord, I love Jesus. And those kids are saying, no, you don't. I just heard how you cussed out that lady at the store. I heard the music you were listening to on the way to church. I saw how you lived this week when you were out in public. That wasn't somebody that was separated unto God. It was somebody who was putting on a show in front of the church. But in the world, guess what? They're living the way the world's living. That's our idea of separation, is I'm only separated when I'm in the walls of the church. And our young people are being destroyed. Let's look at where our generation's going. Where's the kids that come out of the teen class and go into serving God for the rest of their life? Where are they at? They're few and far between. Why? Because it's my fault. And it's your fault. Why? Because we're not separated. We're not living holy. We're not living righteously. And these young people come back and they tell us, listen, God did this in my heart and God's doing this in my life. And we end up discouraging them because we're either intimidated by the way they're living and it convicts us and we say, hey, you know what? I can't have you do that. Or we don't give them the encouragement they need and show them what it means to be a holy, separated Christian. I saw some young people this week that, yes, there was a lot of transformation in a lot of young people's hearts. And praise the Lord, that's what the Word of God does. It changes people when you yield to it and you accept it. But you know what I saw a lot of even still at the end of the week? I saw this. Preaching on the Word of God. And I'm not just talking about sharing. I'm talking about preaching. This is what they did. In church. And that's what we do. We set the example for them. We come to church and we think, I can't stay awake for an hour and a half. You can stay awake all night long. People can play video games all night long. And they don't fall asleep. They can watch movies all night long. They don't fall asleep. But you come in the church house and Satan hangs on your eyelids, doesn't he? And he pulls them down like this. And we set that example. You say, preacher, why are you getting in? Because my heart was broken what I saw. And these are not, there were some bus kids there that didn't know any better. There were some kids that came from pretty rough homes, didn't have a mom and a dad that brought them to church, that were pretty rough kids. I expected that from them, but not from kids that have been in church their whole life, that have heard the Word of God preached their whole life, and they're acting that way. And you say, what happened? Is we have not come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Why is it important to have God in your home? Because that's what they experience all the time. Why is it important to not just be separated at church, but to be separated in our everyday life, at our job, at everywhere we go, when we go to Walmart, everywhere we go out into the world, people ought to know there's something different about us. Why? Because we don't act the way the world does. We don't do what the world does. The things that the world participates in, we don't participate in. We're supposed to be different than they are. Separated unto God. This thing of separation is a very tough thing. It's not just, oh, I go to church. It's, I am engrossed with the things of God. He consumes my life. That's what true separation is all about. When it's a daily walk with God, a daily dying to self, consecrating ourselves to the Lord, getting rid of all the junk in our life every day, starting off fresh for God, and walking with Him daily. That's what our younger generation needs to see. David said, O Lord, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I've shown Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that is to come. How's He going to do that? He said, let my mouth be filled with Thy praises all the day. He praised the Lord. He sought for the Lord's protection, but guess what? He said, Lord, be not far from me. He wanted the Lord's presence in his life. Listen, do you love God enough to get rid of the things that you know God wouldn't be pleased with? Do you love God enough to be separate the way He tells you to be separate? Guess what? You live in the truth, it's going to divide. It's going to make people not want to be around you. You know why? Because they feel convicted by the lifestyle in which you live. And listen, we don't do that so we can say, hey, I'm better than you. That ought not to be our mentality. Our mentality ought to be, I want to please my Heavenly Father. I want to live holy the way that He is holy. And He's separate from sinners. I need to be separate from sinners. Walking in the ways of God so that others can see His power and see His glory in my life. You know why revival's not taking place? Because we're not separate. We're chameleons. We live like the world, act like the world, walk like the world. When we're in the world, everybody thinks we're of the world. We're in church. We know what to say. We have the words. We know how to play the spiritual game. But we're not real. Do you love God enough today to get rid of everything that hinders your walk with God, that hinders others from growing in the things of God? Do you love God enough this morning? Listen, I know we've gone long here today, but we've seen God do some work already through the praising of God and things today. But understand, it does not have to stop. We can live holy and righteously and separate towards God. Listen, it's not a different lifestyle whenever you go out there. It ought to be the same lifestyle, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, you ought to be a Christian. You ought to live for the things of God. And the younger generation ought to see it so that they know who God is and what it really means to be a Christian. If people start living like that and start separating themselves, pretty soon you'll be out of a job. You know why? Because when people separate themselves to God, something changes inside of them. Their desires change. Their associations change. You say, why don't you go and rub shoulders with some of these preachers that don't use the King James Bible? Because I don't preach false doctrine. I want everybody to know where I stand. You say, well, you're just mean. No, I want to be separated to God. You say, well, preacher, I think that you can reach them. Not in their atmosphere, you can't. In your atmosphere. Listen, we go soul winning, we knock on doors. Guess what? We go to their houses, we knock on their door, but we're not participating in what they're participating in. You know what we're doing? We're taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. But if I go down to the bar and I'm sitting there with all the drunks that are drinking at the bar, I'm probably not going to be reaching them with the gospel of Christ. If I'm participating in their act, well, I'm just trying to show them that I'm just like they are. Yeah, you're showing them that you're a heathen. You say, preacher, that's ungodly. It is ungodly. It is. Let's just start calling it what it is. The fact of the matter is, sin is sin. And we ought not to live in it. You say, well, we're sinners. Yes, but we have the Savior living inside of us through the Holy Spirit. We can get the victory over sin in our life. So many times we say, well, we're going to stumble and fall. We might, but it ought to be few and far between. It ought not to be an everyday thing. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we're walking in His grace, and we're walking in His mercy, and we're separating to Him every day. And He helps us get the victory. He would not ask us to do anything that is impossible for us to do. But the Bible does say nothing's impossible with the Lord. And if we're walking in Him, guess what? We can walk holy. We can walk righteously. We can see this nation changed once again if God's people would just start loving Him enough to live separated lives. Guess what? You're not going to be popular with the world. But if you're popular with the world, you're not doing something right. That's just the way it is. If you're popular with the world, then you're an enemy of God. If you're a friend of the world, what's the Bible say? You're at enmity with God. We ought to be separate. Read Matthew 18. What's the Bible say? After we know people that are living in sin and we go to them and they're not willing to get it right, we go to them with other people. If that don't get it right, we take it before the church. If they refuse to listen to the church, the Bible says, treat them as one of the heathen. For what purpose? To show them they're a miserable wretch? No. To show them that there's always restoration in Christ when you come back. But we're going to be separate, holy, living righteously for Him. And if you're willing to live that way, welcome back. You're willing to go back to Him, welcome back. And listen, there's going to be sinners come through that door. There's going to be, this is a hospital for the lost, absolutely. It's an area for us to get help. But we ought not to constantly be living in it. We ought to be separated. Listen, this isn't an easy thing to talk about, but it's something that we need. I saw a generation, Brother Travis, and my heart was broken. Because I remember when I went to teen camp as a teenager. Oh, there were still kids that didn't want to hear things from God, but guess what? They were respectful. They understood how to speak to adults and have that kind of reverence towards authority. But there's absolutely no respect in some of our generation now. Where'd that come from? Where'd it come from? It came from the world, and it came from us treating God that way. You said, no, it didn't. Yes, it did. We as adults treated God the same way those kids treat us. We set the example for them, and they walk in it. Don't do as I do as I say. Not going to happen. They'll do as you do. You know why? Because you set the example. Be separate. Does that mean no kid's ever going to go wayward? No, that's not what it means. But guess what? We'll have a lot more that make it for Christ if we have some adults that will separate themselves to God. We need to be separate. Listen, if you're here and you're separated from God because of sin and you've never been saved, and you're separated from Him knowing that you're not going to heaven, you need to trust Him today. You can have that reuniting with Him today by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're separated from Him because of sin in your life, you can restore that today. But I want to ask you that question. Do you love God enough to throw away all your philosophies and your ideas and just get back to what the Bible says about sin and about it being wrong and about it not being part of our life? We're not supposed to be partakers in it. If you can show me in the Bible where it says that we as Christians are supposed to partake in sin, I'll apologize for this message, but you ain't going to find it. You know why? Because God's holy. And God's just. And God is righteous. And we're supposed to walk in Him. So that's how we're supposed to be. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around this morning.